אם תעמיק עוד בעניין, תראה כי העולם נברא לשימוש האדם. Right, so we just gave an introduction to this point yesterday where we said that the misconception that one could have is that olam hazeh and olam haba are two separate worlds. We gave the example of the sweet, the candy that a person, that child, parent gives a child, where there's no connection. It's a consequence, but it's not inherent. As opposed to olam haba, the way we described olam haba yesterday was that even in olam haba, we'll call it olam haba. You would think you'd call it olam hazeh, because that's where we are then. But you're still going to call it olam haba, because it's a world which is in the making. It's a world of making. It's a world that we make. We create it as we go along. And this world that we're in now was designed especially for us to use. Everything in this world, we superficially see as independent. And it happens to be that you can use it to serve God. Like, wasn't that convenient that God gave us a lulav so that we have what to shake on Sukkot? That was so, you know, it just worked out really well. Happens to be that a lulav was there anyway, and God said, okay, I'll command you to use that. That's a way of viewing the world as independent, and we're using it in a way to serve God. If you happen to meet someone, and you have an interaction with them, which teaches you about yourself, and teaches you about your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so in a superficial way of viewing it would be, well, that was such a random interaction, but I'm going to try and use that to learn something from it. What can I learn from it? And then you say, oh, I can learn from it such and such a good midah, such and such a derech avodas Hashem. It was random, but I used it effectively. That's the misconception. But the true way is that, no, if Hashem brought you to meet that person, it's the reason why He sent that person into your life was for you to learn that thing. It's not that a random thing happened and you're just a holy person, so you're choosing to learn a message from it. It's that Hashem designed the world in a way specifically for you to pick up those messages. So that's two different ways of viewing. I remember once, years ago, when my grandfather, Alav Shalom, passed away. So I was arranging Mishnayos. And someone in my family said to me, Svi, that's so nice that like you have a way to express your emotion of feeling mourning by like having an action to put it into. And it was interesting because like I'd never thought it in that way, you know? I hadn't thought like I'm mourning and I'm feeling sad and I need to find a tangible way to express that, so I'm gonna go and do Mishnayos, and like religion gave expression to that. But it was the other way around. It was that Hashem gave us a concept of Ilui Neshama. That this, Hashem taught us the idea that a soul can still go up higher levels by the acts that we do here in this world. And there's a drasha that people make of the letters of the word Mishnah, the letters of the word Nisham being the same word. There's a special connection between those, so you can do that. So I want to do good. My goal is to do good. And if that helps me feel consoled, then wonderful. So be it. That's a side benefit that I have. But it wasn't coming from that place. It wasn't coming from that way around. So the first perception is that it's more random. You just happen to find something. Oh, there's Mishnayos. Okay, I'll use that to help me feel consoled in the world. But it's a more of a random thing. But the Torah's view is the opposite. If Hashem brought Mishnayos into the world, it was for you to use. So when we look deeper, we see that Olam Nivra L'Shimush HaAdam. It's not that the world is random and you have to find ways to make it meaningful. But rather, everything that you will encounter in the world was designed for you to use in a way to connect to Hashem. And you have to look for it. You have to find those things. It's not that you, it's all random, try and find a way to connect. Rather, there is an inherent connection, discover it. Ha'adam omed b'shikul gadol. And here's where we stand in a great balancing act. Because if we're not discovering how to use the world for Hashem, we're not tuning into how the world is designed for us to connect to Him, then the default is that we'll be drawn in after it. And it will control us. Stav used to tell the mashal, there was a little boy playing in the forest and he saw a bear. And he ran to chase after the bear. And his mother said, What are you doing? And he said, I'm going to catch the bear. And then the bear picks him up and starts walking away. And then he screams to his mother, Ima, the bear caught me! He was talking about it in context of phones. That a person thinks like they have a phone, they buy a phone, and then they'll be able to have more control, and then the phone takes control over them. That was the context he was using it in. The world itself is something which, if you're aware that you're in control of it, and if you're aware that you can use it in service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you will take control and you'll use it effectively. But if not, it's overpowering. It will control you. It will catch you, and you'll be drawn into the umitrachek mi boro, and that will cause the person to distance themselves from Hashem, to be distanced from Hashem. And that's what we said yesterday about the downset, that the downwards escalator. Hinehu mitkalkel. If a person doesn't take active service of Hashem, and I'm not talking here about mitzvot, I'm talking here about the mindset that a person wants to use his mitzvot that he's doing to be close to Hashem. A person could be doing mitzvot externally, but it's in practice alone, but his mind is not connected. He could be sitting on the train next to the goy and they're thinking the exact same thoughts about the game and about the business and about the money and about all the thoughts are exactly the same. Okay, this guy put on tefillin in the morning and davened through shul quickly, but like their inner world could be the same. Chas v'shalom. So, if a person isn't actively seeking Hashem, like we spoke about yesterday, nishtadel lidavek bo, hu mitkalkel, he will become ruined, u'mekalkel ha'olam imo, and also the world will be ruined with him. I want to give a mashal. This mashal came up last year in one of the vadim that we gave, and I found a special chavivus in it. I liked it very, very much. I want to share it here because it fits into the world, hu mitkalkel. Mashal lemaha davadome. I think this is a beautiful, beautiful mashal. A person buys a phone. And on the phone, they have prediction. So if your, let's say, name is David, and you type in D-A, then you do that a couple of times, it knows that you're probably writing David, and it will fill in, auto-fill in, it will fill in David for you. And you know this is the case when you borrow someone else's phone, and you start writing E-L, wanting to write Eliyahu, but it fills in Elisha, because this guy's brother's name is Elisha. So you know that the phone is designed in accordance with the person who's typing, and the phone gets accustomed to the person. And it knows the mind, if you like, or it's trained to tap into the mind of the person. So initially, the phone is totally neutral. It has no direction. But as you start typing in certain topics, then the phone knows what you want, and it pushes you along that way. It will predict and it will suggest that which you should do, because it's already familiar with you. If chas v'shalom, the phone was used by someone who has inappropriate words, then it will also suggest that. And it's unfortunate that it suggests that, because you don't want to be remembering that, but that's what will come up initially. That's the direction the phone took. Now, I don't know if you had this ever before, but if you have an email that comes in, and there's information there which is not in accordance with who you are, or what your habits are, or the types of things that you look at normally, then it may send you a warning. Warning, you don't usually receive emails like this. It may be spam, right? It sends you a warning. How does it know to send you a warning? Because it's aware that you never look at sites like that, you never check emails like that. That's not in accordance with who you are. Just totally in parentheses, my mother-in-law once got a phone call saying, did you buy such and such from such and such a store online? And she said, no, I didn't. They said, well, someone just used your card information to buy that. And they said, how did you know to call me? They said, because you've never used your card on a Saturday. And this was on a Saturday. So we thought we'll phone you just to check if it's you. That's brilliant. Brilliant. But they have some algorithm which they follow the buying habits of all their credit card users. And they were able to identify this wasn't her. So they phoned her up. Is this you? We just want to check. And it wasn't her. Someone had taken her card information and was trying to buy something under her name. So, we have a mind. And when we come into the world, our mind is neutral. And as we fill our mind with godliness, our mind becomes a mind of Torah. Das Torah. To the degree where even if there are new topics that you haven't ever thought of, but because you've thought along the lines of Torah throughout your life, then your mind will auto-suggest Torah concepts and will help fill in for you the ideas that you need to hear which are relevant to this particular topic, because your mind is already in tune with the Torah mind. And if you're a Torah mind already, and then suddenly you hear something or you say something which is not in accordance with who you are, pasnished, then what will happen suddenly? Suddenly you'll feel very guilty. That doesn't make sense. Your healthy guilt will come to you and say, that's not in line with who you are. Warning, spam, this is not in accordance with who you normally are. It doesn't fit your mind. It's not directly with who you are. And what happens if you don't take control? And you don't, then it's likely there are all sorts of hackers out there who will try and send things your way, which are inappropriate. So the way of the world is, if we're not actively filling our mind with Torah, then it will be nimshach achar ha'olam. And inappropriate things will come. However, if we're filling our minds with Torah concepts and thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu the whole time, then we raise ourselves up. Not only do we raise ourselves up, but if someone else then goes and borrows our phone, then they also will, like, it will guide them towards healthy Torah-orientated words. And not only that, but if you think of it in a broad sense, and this is, you know, this doesn't work so well with a phone, but if it wouldn't be just you, but it would be many, 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 many people out there doing it, then, you know, there's some auto-suggestions that they make which are universal. Like, millions of people usually finish this word in this way. So you probably want to also, even though you've never written that word before. So there are universal auto-suggestions too. So when you raise yourself up by writing a certain word on the phone, that's recorded. And for other people, it will make a similar suggestion. Because if you said it, then maybe other people want to say it too. So on the example of the phone, it's not such a good example here because you're really insignificant in respect to the millions of people using it. But from a Torah concept, if one Jew makes a rise in his Avodas Hashem, that directly affects all of Jews around the world on some level. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to say this in a powerful way. He used to say that if we sitting here in, wherever he was in Europe, in Lithuania, have more kavana in our particular bracha of Hashiveinu, then there's a Jew in Berlin and a Jew in Paris who are about to do an Avera, and they will have the spiritual strength to overcome and not do it. Because we all emanate from the same neshama, what's called the neshama klalit. Neshama klalit. All Jews' neshamas are connected in a higher place. And when you raise yourself up, it doesn't only raise you up, but it raises up the entire world. The entire neshama of Am Yisrael is raised up. So like the author's suggestion, it's not such a good example there because you're only one person. Who knows if they're going to take your prediction, your suggestion into account for millions of people. But as a Jew, it does. As a Jew, it takes everyone's into account. So when it says here, Hunehu mitkalkel, that if you write in, if you type in an inappropriate word, then the phone may suggest that again in the future. Chas v'shalom. It's already lowered the status of a person. It's made him now follow that line. B'derech she'adam rotze lechet molichim oto. Ba'le tamei potchim lo. If a person starts going in an inappropriate way, Hashem doesn't hold him back and stop him with mechitzas. He'll mit kalkel, he doing one act which is wrong, or even just being passive and allowing the world to influence his way of thinking. And if you don't take control of the way you're thinking, there are many people out there in the world of media who are very happy to take control of your mind and suggest things for you that aren't good for you, but it's going to earn their money. There's a lot of people out there with negative intentions, and so does the Yetzer Hara. If you don't actively take your mind in a way towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the way of the world is that it will draw you down. But you're not only responsible for yourself, umekalkel ha'olam imo. It lowers the whole world. And there's two ways to understand how it lowers the world. I gave one already about the Neshama Kralis, but I want to take another one now as well, which is the direction that Mr. Shom is going to take. When you go to a store, let's say you go to Osharad, and you see there a delicious apple. That apple, figuratively, is saying, please buy me, because I know you're going to make a bracha. And the whole reason why Hashem made me to begin with was to be used in a holy way. And you, yeshiva bachor, who are going to make a bracha with kavana, that's going to bring me to my purpose. So it's figurative because I don't know if the apple has free will, but that's exactly what's happening. It's exactly what's happening. Everything that Hashem made in the world has kivyachol a desire to be used in a way of serving Hashem. How can it serve Hashem? It's an inanimate object. If a Jew uses it in his service, Hashem will help him. So if you have two cows, and one cow is going to be slaughtered and used as a korban, then that cow has an elevation. It's got kedusha on it. It went from being chulin to being kodesh. And so too, if there's two apples, and one is bought by a religious Jew and one bought by a non-religious Jew, then one had an elevation. It was used with a brocha. It was elevated. So when it says here, hu mit kalkelom hakarolam imo, everything that you can interact with, every physical object that you can interact with, you can make holy by you using it in your service of Hashem. This table could have gone to a restaurant with people who weren't making brochas. But it ended up being this table, and not this table. And what's the difference in this table? I know, this is a rabbi sits here, this is a Tamin sits here. That was probably a holier. I don't know, who knows? But the fact that it's over here, there are some tables which made it to the dormitory. Lo aleim, you know? How did they get there? Huh? Why aren't they over here? They're so disappointed. I could have been used where the rabbi is putting his svarim and where the talmidim are taking notes. I could have been used for that. And I was ended up in the dormitory. As well as the physical damage that takes place. There's also a spiritual damage that's taking place. Mitkalkel olam imo. Because the whole world is looking to you. The whole world is expecting you and pining for you to be using it in a way of Kedusha. But using it in a way which is enhancing your avodas Hashem. And it's limited. It's stuck. It can't do it by itself. Lahavdol, like an neshama who's gone to the next world, it's stuck. Only if you learn Torah and make brachos and do mitzvahs, then it can go up a level. So too, this table can't help itself be raised up. But we can, by using it for Torah and mitzvahs. So, a person who doesn't follow the path of Hashem and think, everything I'm doing is for the sake of Hashem, and align himself with God's will, if he doesn't do that, then as well as himself that he's damaging, and we add it in, as well as the neshama klalit, all of Jews he's negatively affecting, he's also affecting the world negatively. Because every element of the world was hoping and longing to be used by a Jew in the service of Hashem. Like a korban, but like everything. You can use it too. V'im hu sholet bi'atzmo, but if a person takes active control, meaning he says, see the phrase sholet bi'atzmo? Meaning there's either you're in control or you just release control. If you release control, then it goes downhill. Right, that was the word he used, nimshach. You're drawn downwards. But if you're sholet, that means I'm taking control of myself. And this concept is huge. The belief that you have in yourself, that you can control your direction, is the basis of all Jewish advancement. All Jewish growth starts with Bechira Chavshis. I can take control of myself. I can take the next step. And you hear people say phrases like, what do you want from me? What can I do? It's not my fault. Like all those phrases which are basically absolving oneself of responsibility prevent a person from growing. And the moment that a person says, yes, I've had a hard life, so what? Look at the previous chief rabbi, Rav Lau. He has every reason, the older rabbi, he has every reason in the world to say, what do you want from me? My parents were killed. What do you want from me? I was taken as a child from my family. I went through the deportation camps and I was in the Holocaust. He could have complained. He could have blamed. He could have absolved himself of responsibility. And then we wouldn't have a chief rabbi. And we wouldn't have all the tremendous Avodas Hashem guidance that he's given us. If anyone's read his Tshuvas and also his Perushim Pirkei Avos, phenomenal. That's someone who said, it's not about what happened to me. It's about what I'm doing with my life. Sholet ba'atzmo. No one should ever use any life situation as an excuse not to take their next step. All you can do is you can use it as an opportunity to learn from and grow from. Imu sholet ba'atzmo. So that's point number one. You recognize and identify that you have Bechira Chavshis. And then what are you doing with that Bechira Chavshis? V'nidbak b'boro. That you use it to connect to Hashem. First you identify that you have free choice. Then you use it to connect to Hashem. Sholet ba'atzmo v'nidbak b'boro. And not only you in theory do that, but you use things in the world, physical things. U'mishtamesh min ha'olam rak liyot ro l'siyu la'avod baro. And you use all the elements of the world for helping you in your service Hashem. Then, let's go for the positive. Hu mitale, you go up a level, because you're using your free choice to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're rising your own level, and it's exponential at this point. Once you start growing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens up many more doors. It's like that famous mashal where they say that a person's climbing a mountain, and he says, I can see the top, I'm almost there. And then he gets to the top, and as he gets to the top, he sees that was only one bump. There's a lot more bumps to go. There's a lot more sections of the mountain. So when a person's serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he feels like, okay, I'm almost finished. And then he gets to the top and then he realizes, this is just the beginning of my growth. I have so much more opportunities. So why does Hashem do it like that? Because if you would see the whole thing at the beginning, it would seem overwhelming. Right? If you would take a child in Kita Aleph, okay, Chevra, you're in this for life. It starts with Aleph base, but that's quick. Yeah, that's easy. And we're going to go on to Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra. Then we've got Nevi'im, Achronim. And then we're going to start with Mishnayos. And there's Kochim and Taras there as well. That's endless. Endless. People say that's too hard to understand. Just try the Rambam's introduction. You're going to see how difficult it is. And then that's just to understand the Gemara. Right? And then we're going to spend a good few years in the Gemara. But you think the Gemara is the end? The Gemara, there's Machlokas Rishonim on every topic in the Shas. So we're going to have to go through all the Machlokas Rishonim. And even with all of that, you won't know what to do. Because you haven't got to the Poskim yet. So you're going to have to go via the Achronim just to understand what the Rishonim was, or what they didn't. Never mind. Leave the Achronim. We'll stick with the Rishonim. And then you have to start reading Poskim and Poskim and Poskim to understand, like, practical halacha l'maaseh, what to do. And even then, you probably won't know because there's a Machlokas in all the Poskim and you have to, like, have it. So, Kitzur, you're in this for life. Are you ready, Chevra? Aleph. Right, they're going to give up right there. Right? So you don't tell them everything. You just say, all along your day is Aleph. Kamatz Aleph. I forgot. Kamatz Beis Ba. Kamatz Gimel Go. And they just go through that. And they feel satisfied. Oh, I accomplished. I learned my lesson today. And I know what my lesson is. And they're happy. Okay, is there another lesson? There's more? There's Dalit? Oh, I didn't know there was Dalit. Okay, we'll do Dalit. And step by step, they're able to process everything until they get to Yeshiva. And there's a lot more until they finish Yeshiva. In my interview with Rav Blachman. 21, 23 years ago. So I was learning, I'd learned Makkos, so we were doing Makkos together. And I remember, like, I learned a particular piece, and I only got to a certain place, and he did as is his ways. He took me a little beyond that piece. And I said, I haven't learned this yet. And he said, okay, but let's try it. Let's give it a try. So I floundered, hopeless, didn't know what I was talking about over there. And he had mercy on me. He said, okay, fine, let's go back to what you know. And he said, well, why do you want to come to Yeshiva? So I said a particular svara that I'd learned in the piece we've just done. I said, that really excited me. Like, it helped me realize that. And he said to me, that's nothing. That's the tip of the iceberg. There is so, you can't even imagine how much more there is. I said, I'm coming. And Baruch Hashem, okay. So it worked out. But Hashem has mercy on us. That we only see what's just immediately in front of us at the time. So that we can, like, invest in it. But as we accomplish a certain level, who mit aleh, then you realize there's so much more I can do. There's exponential growth. Every time you reach a new level, you realize, I want to do so much more. And it encourages you to do more. Every accomplishment that you have, you feel excited about it. You understand who you can be. New vistas open up. Levels that you never thought were possible suddenly become possible for you once you finish. Hashem won't show it to you ahead of time because it'll be too overwhelming. But every time you accomplish something, you recognize and identify there's so much more. Hu mitale. You go up levels. V'haolam atzmo mitale imo. And not only do you go up, but you're responsible for the world itself. The deepest Sfarim say, I don't know exactly what this means, the deepest Sfarim say that this, when the Mashiach comes, so they say it like this, they say, when the Mashiach comes, and then they say, and not only when the Mashiach comes, but anything you do which is bechinat, bringing the Mashiach, meaning any mitzvah that you do, or any Torah that you learn, which is like bringing the Mashiach closer, takes the sting away from the nettle, and the pain away from the scorpion. I don't know exactly what that means, but if we fit it into what it's saying here in Maseches Yesharim, then you can understand that even the world itself, which has negativity or midas hadin to it, like a sting to it, let's say, is made softer, has rachamim with it, is made gentler every time you grow. As you grow in your avodas Hashem, and as you bring more of a God awareness and a rachamim into the world, Torah into the world, then all the negativity in the world, even if it's not connected to you, even if it's somewhere else, even if it's something natural, part of the elements of the world, it becomes less negative, becomes less harsh. There's a machlokas in the Rambam and the other Rishonim about whether to take the nevuah of whether the lion will lie with the lamb, literally or not literally, but according to this, it's literal. It's absolutely literal. Like, as we grow, and as we come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and as the awareness of Kadosh Baruch Hu becomes in the world, then the negativity that exists, the harshness that exists, even between the animal kingdom, becomes less harsh. And they're able to lie together in a peaceful manner. Ki hinei ilui gadol lebrios kulam, not only for people, but for the entire world, has a tremendous uplift. Bihiyotam mishamshe adam ha-shalem. When they're able to be used by a man who's using them, ha-mekudash b'kudushot barach. With the holiness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything, that apple in the store of Osharad is begging you to take it. Because it wants to be the one that's going to be chosen to make a brocha over. Everything that you ever use will be, and the truth is that even if you don't eat it and make a brocha of it, but you just look, you just stand there Osharad and you look and you say, wow, look at these beautiful fruit that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made. So many colors, so many textures, comes from so many places in the world. There's a Rashi in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make so many different types of fish and birds? And he says, in order that we will be mitpael from them, be excited about them, amazed by them, and say, these are the brios of Hashem. That's amazing, no? Go to an aquarium. Be amazed by the different colors and textures and shapes of the birds. And I'm adding in the fruits. And even that, you didn't buy anything, you didn't need anything. Just the fact that it brought you to an awareness of the greatness of Hashem in the world, that He's made all of these beautiful things, that itself is the ilui they were hoping for. So you don't even have to eat everything. You know, it's good for diet. You don't have to eat every single fruit. So like, I'm being mezakeh, the fruit, the elevated, and all that. You can just look at it and be excited by it, that recognizing that it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that too is what it's longing for. Hoping that you would do, that you would use it in the service of Hashem in that way. It's a ilui gadol for all the parts of the world that they are serving the man who's using them in Kedusha. For who ke'ein ma shamru chazal in chagiga daf yud beis, regarding the or sheganzo HaKadosh Baruch Hu letzadikim, v'ze lo shunam v'keiven shera'a or sheganzo HaKadosh Baruch Hu letzadikim samach. Sh'ne'emar or letzadikim yismach. So or, light, here is not referring to sunlight, obviously, because it's talking about the first day, or before the first day, and here and the light of the sun was only created on the fourth day. So obviously the light that we're referring to here is talking about a spiritual light, which Chazal say, which is an amazing thing. We can do it in a mini way, but it's an amazing thing. Chazal say that this light enabled people to see the essence of what anything was in the world. In other words, this book over here, or this paper over here, as someone who was able to use the Or HaGanuz, was able to see why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this particular item in the world, what spiritual purpose it had in being created. That was the Or HaGanuz. Now we can do that too on a very, very watered down level, where let's say you have a particular desire, whatever it is, a positive one, right? You want to do something good in the world, and you pause and you say, I know I want that, but why is it that I want that? And let's say, for example, you want to go out for Shabbos to a particular place, to Tzfat, right? And you say, okay, I want to go to Tzfat. And then if you get stuck on that, I want to go to Tzfat, then you'll be in trouble because you may not be able to go to Tzfat. Right. But then if you say, but why do I want to go to Tzfat? What is it that I want to go to Tzfat about? And this is like kind of an Or HaGanuz here. Like, not really, but like it's like the same concept behind the Or HaGanuz, where you're looking for the deeper reason that you have behind why you want it. And there could be a number of reasons. It could be that you need menuchas ha-nefesh. You need a kind of a sense of peace, and you feel that's going to be a place where you can get a lot of peace. It could be you're looking for a connection to the deeper side of Torah, and you feel that in Tzfat there's like people who have a deeper understanding of Torah. It could be that you you have an uncle who lives there, and you want to connect to family. There are many reasons why. But once you identify the reason why, then even if it's you can't go to Tzfat, but you can answer that deeper need. You can't have menuchas ha-nefesh in Tzfat, but you can have menuchas ha-nefesh by walking around the kibbutz. You can't have a connection to Kabbalah by going to Tzfat, but you can maybe learn something with the Rebbe on Shabbos, which from a deeper sefer. If you understand the deeper reason behind, then you can maybe answer that need in a deeper way without having to get stuck on the external. So the reason why Rav Ramchal was bringing it here was the or itself rejoiced. That's why he's bringing it. The light itself rejoiced. The light, when it saw that it was going to be used by tzaddikim to identify the inner reason why something was created, and they were going to use it for avodas Hashem, like our apple in Osher Ad, so the light itself rejoiced. What does it mean? The light rejoiced? What is that idea? We're giving like a human traits, personality to inanimate objects? Yes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the elements of the world themselves on some level a recognition that they have a purpose in the world. Well, Paul said, but I'll just give as homework if anyone has the time or interest. And there's written by Shlomo HaMelech, there's a song that was written where every animal says its pasuk. And when you read it, it's exactly this. It's this animal came into the world, or this creature came into the world on some level, and it has a particular desire, a particular message for us to take, for us to learn from. And when we identify what that pasuk is, or that particular animal or creature has to say to the world, that's its like longing, that's its what it's pining for, what it's hoping for. Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll see that Ramchal gives another example. We'll need to understand why he gives two examples as to why, the concept of it is. So, message of today was, everything that you do, you elevate yourself. Everything that you do, you affect the entire world. You have free choice to connect yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you don't take active choice of this, the default is that you'll go down, chas v'shalom. If you take active choice in this, not only are you benefiting yourself, you're benefiting everything that surrounds you. Shalom. Oh, there we go. Here we have. If anyone's looking for the Perek Shira in the hand. Is this yours?
Sure.
Speak to Donny. Donny, I'll simcha afterwards if you wish to...
Where's
Shirley?
Where's the Gemara in
Roshana?
Yeah.
I don't think it's the first 10 pages. I can find it. I don't remember off the top.
I can look it up.
I remember where it is on the page, but I don't remember which stuff it is.
Maybe what was the pasuk for or? Oh,
yeah. Or tzaddikim yismach. Let's see. Or tzaddikim yismach mishle yud gimel. The light itself, when used by tzaddikim, rejoices.
So that's how he's reading. You can tie it in kind of with the Gemara in Tainus that says Urza or La Tzaddik or Shelev Simcha. That or light was given to the Tzaddikim.
Right. The light was given for the Tzaddikim to be able to use.
So you could tie it in with here.
Maybe that makes sense why we say that pasuk at the beginning of Yom Kippur, because that's the day when we go to our inner will. We go deeper like that. And that's how we start Yom Kippur, right? Urza or La Tzaddik is the opening psukim that we say of called Nidra.
But then it also says, but what's the Yashar get? Lishay Leiv Simcha, he gets happiness. But what's the distinction between Yashar and Tzaddik?
Tzaddik is someone who does everything which is correct. He looks in the Shulchan Aruch, sees what's correct, he does what's correct. Someone who's Yashar is, even if it's beyond what like he's expected to do, right? But he wants to be in line, like in a straight line with God's will. So he'll even go beyond the letter of the law when it comes to being yashar, being honest and being straight. He has a high level of joy because he's going in the same way. What is joy usually?